Cliff, I marveled as a kid at the movie The Time Machine. I also liked Back to the Future. Time travel, what do you think? Possible to go back, to go forward?
Well, there's a whole long, interesting history of time travel. Isaac Newton thought of time as a river, and Einstein said, well, that river can bend. And finally, more recently, scientists have said, well, maybe the river can be made to go back. The laws of physics seem to permit it. The neat thing about time travel is that it's not really a question of can you. It's certainly possible to time travel into the future. Scientists have shown that if you travel high speed and come back to the Earth, you basically can come back thousands of years into the Earth's future, even if it just took a short amount of time for you, if you could travel fast. And if you go near like a black hole, that slows down time. Any gravity slows down time. In fact, the time in your basement is running slower, slightly, than the roof of your home. But so going forward in time actually seems to be easier. Going backward in time is a little bit harder. You can imagine all the paradoxes that can result. But the laws of physics don't seem to prevent it.
Cliff, is time like a videotape recorder? Though, you know, let's say you go back to the moment that Jesus was there, or you go back to Noah's flood. Has time been recorded somehow, like it's on videotape?
Well, a lot of people wonder if you could go back to Jesus's time, how come we don't see thousands and thousands of time travelers going back to observe? The whole our histories would be all crowded out by time travelers from the future. Getting to your question, some people think that if you could go back in time, you'd actually split the universe and you'd be in a parallel universe. So even if you went back in time and changed history, it would change sort of the history of this other universe, whereas your old one would stay intact. And that's how you could avoid the so-called grandfather paradox. Now, if you went back in time and killed your own grandfather, you know, how would you be born so that you go back in time?
That's right.
Avoid some of that.
So true. What do you mean by quantum immortality?
That is how the book concludes, on this very bizarre concept of quantum immortality. And this is the most mind-stretching concept, I think, in the book. It's very science fictionist, but actual physicists think about it. There's a sense that whenever in the quantum world, the subatomic world, when there's a choice, the world follows both choices. It's a certain type of quantum mechanics. You know, it's not, if an atom can go up or down, well, the universe branches and one universe goes one way, one universe goes the other way. With quantum immortality, it suggests you might never die. Let me see if I can give a thought experiment. No one should try this in their homes. If you had a radioactive particle that had a 50-50 chance of going off, and it would trigger a gun that would shoot you. You know,
yeah, don't do this at home, folks.
Don't do this at home. In one universe, you would die, but in another one, you would live. And that's the only universe you would remember. And so you would seem to actually live forever, because there may always be a chance that you'd live, and you'd go on and on and on. It's a very bizarre concept, and it has to do with this many-worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics that says the universe is always branching into different possibilities, so all these possibilities exist where you're going to stay alive.
Is there some part of physics, Cliff, that still baffles you?
I would say
a lot, huh?
Quantum mechanics, this subatomic stuff, I think baffles all physicists. It's the most counterintuitive of all things. In quantum mechanics, particles can be two places at once. They can communicate instantaneously across the cosmos. Things are fuzzy. Particles behave like waves. That it's all very baffling, and I think many physicists have almost given up trying to understand it. They said, you know, it's a the theory is shut up and just calculate. You know, we can't possibly understand it, but it works. It explains how our devices like lasers and computers work. And since it works, we just accept it, deal with it, move on. But the human mind might never fully get it.
Cliff, give me your take on life itself, its existence, how it might have started. Let's take God out of the equation for a moment, though I don't think you really can. How did it start? Not the Big Bang, but life itself.
Yeah, well, if we go back in time, it looks like life started just about as soon as it could on Earth. The minute the planet cooled down and there's liquid water around, life started. Now, I don't think we know how the both very primitive, combinations of DNA and proteins and RNA, what life was back so many billions of years ago. But obviously, it did start. And through time, the miracles that intelligent creatures like ourselves came about. Because, intelligence is not necessarily an inevitable part of evolution. I mean, rats and beetles do quite fine without having the intelligence that we have. And I think, if we're going to try to find spacefaring creatures out in the universe, they're going to have intelligence and manual dexterity. They have to be smart, but they have to have something like a hand or tentacle to manipulate objects. And that could be quite rare in the universe. On Earth, you might have spiders that are very dexterous, can manipulate their arms very well, but they're not smart. And you could have smart dolphins, but, they can't really do much with their flippers. To get both in one creature, wow, that's something.
And here we are.
And here we are with both.
Well, and the complexities for life are just unbelievable to me. I mean, I am in marvel over this planet, for example. We need water to live. Grass needs it. Trees need it. We need it. We need water to live. What kind of a design for a planet that would have it rain? Because without the rain, you're not going to get the water for, let's say, the trees or in the lakes and things like that. How would this be designed to work like that? I mean, just think of that simple possibility that rain allows you to live, water allows you to live, and it comes to us. Who would create that?
It is truly incredible. And I think you need both that water and the land. I mean, in a total water world, you could get life forms starting, but can you imagine trying to manipulate things underwater? You wouldn't even be really looking out at the cosmos, looking out at the sky. You'd be in the water. You almost need water to kickstart things and the challenge of the land to, evolve these intelligent creatures ourselves. And to get all that at once and to get we have a magnetic field that helps stabilize our ozone layer and protects us from the sun. And there's so many things that come together to create this beautiful Earth that I am in awe, and I'm sure you're in awe.
That's why I have to conclude, Cliff, that there's got to be intelligent design behind it. I mean, beyond what any great architect could come up with. I mean, the little nuances, just like you said, something to block, bad rays from hitting us from the sun and things like that. I mean, however it was designed, everything was considered. Everything.
So much has to come together. The fixed axis of rotation of the Earth keeps the climate good. But of course, we want to be total scientists. We could say if the universe is huge, if there may be multiple universes, well, with the luck of shuffling the cards, you're going to create another Earth-like planet. People are finding planets all the time now out in outer space. But even if we do find a water world out there, for it all to come together, all the billions of years needed to form something like us, which I tend to believe we needed all that time to come about, well, it is amazing, I have to admit.